Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning, everyone. Question for you. Do you use decaf? Should you use decaf? Is vegetable juice better than fruit juice? So influencers will tell you anything, and I haven't a Scooby-Doo. So we asked dietitian Orla Walsh to come into the studio and talk about food substitutes and just try to explain which ones are worth trying. Good morning, Orla.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you back in. So what are some of the most popular food and drink substitutes that people use to just try and be healthier?
I think the substitute people use most often to try and be healthier is hunger. So people actually think that they go through the day trying to eat as little as possible nearly. And what happens is people in general don't eat very much until 5 p.m. at night, and then all their nutrition comes in. So I would say that most often during the day, people are actually trying to choose not eating or not drinking as well, rather than actually intuitively eating. So that would be the biggest thing.
Okay.
So I think the biggest problem is people need to eat more in the first half of the day.
That's very important. Yeah. Because you do find yourself just standing at the fridge before you go to bed, because that's just because you haven't eaten enough during the day.
Yeah, your body's like an accountant where it's just like, no, I need 2,000 or 2,500. You've skipped breakfast, you've had a tiny sandwich, and, you know, it might be 350 calories, and we need to make up the rest. And the problem is that the body would prefer if the food was spread out during the day and given at times when it needs it, because for most people, we're most active during the day, and we need carbohydrates to feed our brain. We need protein spread out during the day. It will try to replenish that. So the problem is that once you start eating, if you've been hungry throughout the day, it feels like the floodgates open for people and they feel less in control. And if you've had your dinner and you're still hungry and you're searching the presses, what are the chances of you filling in the gaps with healthier food? Like, will you make an omelette later, or will you have bars or biscuits and tea?
Yeah, that's very, very true. What are your thoughts on decaf?
I love decaf myself. I'm so grateful for it, because caffeine doesn't suit everyone, and caffeine in excess doesn't suit anyone. And really, I suppose we're devils for the cups of tea and we're devils for the coffee. I find that people often don't associate tea with caffeine, and they're like, oh, it'll just be a little bit there in that cup. But, you know, generally speaking, most people would benefit from keeping it under 200 milligrams a day, which is around 4 cups of tea or 2 coffees. Caffeine's a funny one in that it has a half-life of around 6 hours. So it will, if we have a cup of tea, just say it's 7, like 6 hours later, it'll be half gone. 6 hours later after that, a quarter will be left. 6 hours later after that, an eighth will be left. It takes ages to leave, and it can be longer in some people and shorter in others. Pregnancy, it can actually extend it so long. So women just really struggle to break down the caffeine when pregnant sometimes. So caffeine affects lots of things. So if you feel more anxious, it's oxygen to that flame. If your gut motility is too fast, in other words, if you suffer diarrhea and stuff like that, it's going to make that worse. But the big thing is sleep.
Yeah.
And often people go, do you know, Orla, it doesn't affect my sleep. I can still go to sleep really easily. But again, studies say that it affects our ability to go into deep sleep and how restful our sleep is. So I think decaf is brilliant because it's now really quite tasty. Before it was rank, I get that, when it first came about. But it's you know, especially the good brands, it tastes really delicious.
So it's a decent alternative.
It is, because there's lots of health benefits to tea and coffee. And we know coffee is very good for the liver in particular. And the correlation studies suggest that people who drink more coffee have a reduced risk of heart disease and cancers and things. And tea is brilliant too, and they're both hydrating. And lots of people don't like drinking water and like an alternative, or they're cold-blooded people and like a hot cup. So I think the decaf really brings in a great option. And, you know, like I said, they're good for you and they're hydrating.
Okay, what about sweeteners? My mother-in-law's mad for the sweeteners.
So is my mother-in-law. She comes
with
to
her
house. Yeah, with it in her handbag. So the research, there's correlation. Overall, the research says there's nothing wrong with them. Okay. There's a few correlation studies that suggest maybe they might increase your risk of certain things. I guess more time will tell. I suppose the problem is that in some ways, yes, they're better than having a truckload of sugar, because we know that excess sugar will increase your risk of certain things like dying from heart disease if your sugar intake is very high. That said, it does. The sweet thing is that as soon as when we have something sweet, we get a dopamine release, a pleasure release, and it's delicious. But we chase that then. So if people use sweeteners, they can be chasing sweet after sweet after sweet. So I also think most of them taste absolutely manky, but it's a very individual thing, I appreciate. I would prefer if people didn't use them and used sweet tasting natural food to sweeten things, like, for example, adding, you know, apple puree to their yogurt instead of a sweetener or something like that.
Okay.
But because at least then there would be further nutrition outside of it. But I don't hate them. The evidence doesn't hate them either.
Okay.
But I think maybe in 10 years with a bit more research, maybe
the news
maybe
be
wouldn't. Yeah, things might be different.
Milk isn't. You love milk. You're all about the milk.
I'm the biggest ambassador of milk. When I saw Vogue Williams having the pint of milk and the bath, I was like, she has the right idea. We are soul sisters. I am very much, I love milk.
It's making a comeback.
It is, thank God, because when you look at the research behind milk, there's so much research saying it being in favor of it. There's wonderful things. It's more hydrating than water. It gives us so many important nutrients, not just calcium, but iodine, which is important for thyroid and metabolism, as well as skin, B12 in terms of energy. The list goes on. I don't know, because the perception didn't add up. So you see, the problem with nutrition is that it's not an opinion, it's a science. And when you talk to people who have actually studied nutrition, there's very few different opinions out there. We tend to all have the same opinion because it's science, it's research. But it's just the quackery around it. And it was victimized and it made a motive. And when we look at it, especially in Ireland, we have a lot to be proud of. We have a lot to be proud of our dairy farmers, how they go about it, using rain and irrigation sensibly. Like their approach is much more sustainable than other countries. We have a lot to be proud of. And we do have yummier. Like, I was in France the other week, and I have to say, their milk, just not up to scratch.
Didn't cut it for
that. Couldn't wait to get back to a glass of Irish milk. So no, it's absolutely brilliant for you. So please ignore the nonsense.
Low-fat milk.
Why do you have low-fat milk? Why
is it just milk with water? Like, what is it?
Taken out some of the yumminess. So there's milk is naturally nearly low-fat. So taking out a gram or two per 100 mils is a joke. It's an absolute joke. It's a gimmick. It's a marketing gimmick. Okay. Like, we would have more fat cut. If you wanted to reduce the fat in your diet, look at how much butter you put on your toast. Don't look at your milk. Your milk is naturally nearly low fat as it begins. Like, and don't even get me started on that skim milk. It's the wrong colour, okay?
It's wrong.
And the thing is that fats in milk are cardioprotective. They do us good. And it looks like they do protect us against other things like diabetes. And for women, for some reason, the correlation studies show that women who have, and I'm not calling it full fat dairy, it's regular dairy, because I think full fat suggests it's full of fat when it's not. But when women have regular dairy versus low fat, there's a tendency for fertility to improve, and they're trying to understand that more. So stop with the low fat. It takes me so long to pick a yogurt in a supermarket because there's so much low fat nonsense. And if you take out the fat, you take out some of the yumminess, and then they try and add in sweeteners or something else to fill in the gap. Doesn't cut the mustard for me. Regular all the way.
Okay. Reduced salt. When you see that on a label, what do you feel about that?
So that's what that means is it's been reduced by around 25% or more. It's probably a good thing. We all consume too much salt. Sometimes they're just taking out some of the salt. Some things are far too high in salt as it is. They're like some breakfast cereals, you'd be amazed, have more salt than ready salted crisps. And more even sauces like pesto can be saltier than seawater. And it's just not that necessary. And if there's so much salt in it, you wouldn't necessarily taste it, all the flavors as well. So I'm not against that. And they sometimes use salt kind of, they take out the sodium and put in more potassium and stuff. And research looks at that quite favourably. It seemed to reduce like stroke by around 15%. So any reduction in terms of heart disease is a good thing if you're Irish in particular, because that's what we die of. So I'm in favour of that. But of course, if you're using more whole foods, you don't even have to look at the wrappers, you know.
Yeah, good point. Let's talk about juices and fruit juices. You see them all over shopping centres, and when you go into town, and kids love them. Are they as healthy as they're making out to be?
So kids love them. Dentists hate them.
Okay.
Okay, so
a straw. What about a straw?
Dentists prefer you to use straws. It's a very... okay, so you prefer them having fruit juice than no fruit. You prefer them having a smoothie than a juice. And you prefer them eating fruit rather than drinking it. That said, do I allow my kids have fruit juice? Of course I do. It's yummy, it's delicious, it's hydrating. But I prefer them to eat more fruit than drink it. But the veg juices tend to have the same amount of sugar or carbohydrate. It's amazing. People think, oh, you know, there's hardly any carbohydrates or sugar in this because it's veg juice versus fruit juice. But having looked at the nutritional labels of many, I was surprised that, like, put it this way, fruit juice might have 8 to 10 grams of sugar per 100 mils, which is equivalent of 2 to 2.5 teaspoons of sugar per 100 mils, while veg juice can have something very quite similar, sometimes the exact same because they're based on apple juice with a touch of cucumber added. But I haven't seen one lower than around 5 grams per 100 mils, which is still around a teaspoon.
Okay.
More than a teaspoon.
Wow. Vegan friendly meat alternatives. There's loads of them.
There are. You see, the problem with the trend at the moment for the plant-based diet, like, we do need to eat more plants, but we need to eat more natural occurring plants. The research came out, I think it was last year, and showed that actually what this movement has done is increase the amount of processed foods in people's diets, and the foods are high in saturated fats and salts and stuff. So if you're doing it from a health point of view, not great. When it comes to a sustainable diet point of view, the less processed foods we eat, the better. So, and again, less packaging too. So from a sustainable diet point of view, I'm a bit confused about their, you know, the efforts. And again, it was a safe foods research that came out last year that said most of them don't really cut the mustard when it comes to protein. So if you're having a plant-based burger instead of an actual burger, like, if it has more calories, more saturated fat, more salt, and a lot less nutrition and nearly no protein, less protein than, you know, your broccoli on the plate, you have to question it. So, not all of them are bad, but like most of them are a bit...
Eat more whole foods.
Yeah,
that's it, isn't it, really, if you want to be healthier. And the yogurt always gets me, I love when you come in and talk about milk, because everybody kind of goes, because you see them now in the gyms. Thank God it's making a comeback, all these gym bunnies eating pints or drinking pints of milk after a session.
Yeah, because it's a really good sports drink, because it's more hydrating than water. It offers protein and offers carbohydrate, so protein to repair the muscles, carbohydrate to refuel, so there's lots of benefits. The thing about it is that you find people going dairy free but then taking whey protein, and whey protein is one of the proteins found in milk and the other one's casein. So people are like, no, I'm dairy free but still like eat Greek yogurt or take whey or casein protein. So it's a natural source of the whey or casein. So it's a great... And it's so easy to stimulate a young person's muscles to grow and repair. So the majority of people don't need the protein shakes. They just need a pint of milk.
Well said. Orla, thanks a million for explaining what we should know about food substitutes. And if you want to find Orla Walsh, where can people annoy you online?
Orla Walsh Nutrition on Instagram, but my website will lead you to my clinic.
Okay, there we go. Orla Walsh, thanks for coming in. We'll be back right after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.